This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Hawkeye Steel has moved to its new office and showroom. Come out and visit them at 711 Hawkeye Avenue in White City. In addition to their steel inventory and metal building panels and component, they now stock a variety of metal-related goods, such as metal shelving, air compressors, nuts and bolts, etc. Ornamental iron components for the do-it-yourselfer, or they can quote you fabricated units. Hawkeye Steel also carries a variety of welding supplies. New items arrive daily. Get to Hawkeye Steel today. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Farmers are discovering crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois is a good fit for their farming operation. Albert Thompson of Perry County, Illinois, explains why he chose Farm Credit.
I took crop insurance out through Farm Credit Services, and they explained the programs well to me. I have no problem getting served well on claims and kept the wheels spinning in some rough, difficult times.
There's peace of mind in knowing your revenue is secure during volatile years.
I hear the statement from people that can't afford crop insurance. I can't afford not to have it. Because when we go into planting a crop in the spring, I know the minimum amount of revenue I'm going to have at the end of the year. That's something I never had without it.
Crop insurance provides farmers the flexibility needed to meet the demands of today's farming operations.
I can't imagine farming without crop insurance. As much capital is involved today, I'd have to reevaluate everything I do.
Call us at 800-444-FARM. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 733¾, down 4¾. May wheat trading at 739¼, down 6. March corn trading at 698½, down 2. May corn trading at 693¼, down 3. March soybeans trading at 1479¼, down 3½. May beans trading at 1462½, down 6. And on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended the day at 738½, up 6¼. May wheat ended at 745¼, up 6½. July wheat ended at 748, up 6¼. March corn yesterday ended at $7.50, up 5¼. May corn ended at 696¼, up 4¼. July corn ended at 682¾, up 2½. March soybeans yesterday ended at 1482¾, up 12½. May beans ended at 1468½, up 11¾. July beans ended at 1456¼, up 10¾. March soybean meal yesterday ended at 433.60, up 83. May meal ended at 432.90, up 82. July meal ended at 426.70, up 82. And March soybean oil yesterday ended at 52.07, down 46. May oil ended at 52.40, down a half dollar. And July oil ended at 52.69, down 52. March oats yesterday ended at 387¾, up a dime. May oats ended at 388½, up 5¼. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Soybean futures were supported by loading delays for the new South American soybean crop, and dry soil conditions in South America continue. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 693 to 715, and soybeans were up mostly 15 to 18 cents, ranging from 1464 to 1480. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 9 cents stronger at 701 to 719, and soybeans advanced 11 to 12 cents at 1484, that's 1484 to 1496. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 6 cents at 696 to 726. Soybeans were up 12 to 18 cents, ranging from 1492 to 1509. And the wheat bids mostly 5 to 7 cents higher at 741 to 754. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 10 to 12 cents at 15.13 to 15.21, while basis ended steady to 2 cents lower at 30 to 38 over the March. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $8.30 a ton on Wednesday to range from $4.39.60 to $4.49.60. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained a dime up to $7.20 to $7.40, with basis gaining 5 cents at 20 to 40 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quartered producer corn bids a nickel higher at $7.16 to $7.18, basis ending steady, Reggie, from $15 to $17 over the March. Soybeans were up 14 to 15 cents at $15.02 to $15.09, with basis gaining 2 cents at $19 to $26 over the March. And new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery up 6 to 7 cents at $7.21 to $7.28, with basis steady to a penny better at $27 to $20 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents stronger at $7.16 to $7.20. The same elevators raised their soybean prices by 10 to 21 cents with quotations at $15.09 to $15.23. Soft red wheat up 3 cents at $7.74 to $7.75, and Milo gained 6 on Wednesday, ranging from $7.05 to $7.06. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Bids from country elevators to producers for new crop corn in those areas range from $5.21 to $5.41. New crop bean bids at $12.39 to $12.55. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids at $5.23 up to $5.44. New crop bean bids at $12.46 up to $12.64. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $5.29 to $5.47. New crop beans at $12.54 to $12.73. And the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery up ranging, at $7.02 up to $7.20. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. April hogs ended at 82.95, down a dime. May hogs ended at 90.37, down 37. June hogs ended at 92.35, up 37. February cattle yesterday ended at 125.10, down $1.30. April cattle ended at 128.22, down $1.32. June cattle ended at 124.52, down $1.22. March feeder cattle yesterday ended at 140.72, down 2.45. April feeders 143.60, down 2.57. May feeders ended at $147, down 2.57. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded $1.21 lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $73 to $79, and the average carcass price of $78.55. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, starting with U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds, they were 42 to 46. The 4 to 5 weights were 45 to 50. The 5 to 550 weights at 47 to 51. And the 550 and up at 51 to 54. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were traded steady, ranging from 54 to 57. Receipts for Illinois hogs totaled 16,802 head today. The United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, February 19th, they had receipts of 379 head. And starting with the Choice Slaughter steers, they were bringing 122 to 124. Choice Slaughter Holstein steers were bringing 111 to 116. And Choice Slaughter heifers, 122 to 123. On to the slaughter cows, premiums were bringing 91.50 to 100. Breakers were at $90, boners were $80 to $85, and the leans were $69 to $76. Feeder steers, medium and large, 5 to 6 weights, were bringing $146 to $150, and feeder heifers at the 5 to 6 weight were bringing $120 to $129. Walnut livestock sales for February 19th, they had 610 head. And starting with the feeder steers, medium and large, 5 to 6 weights, $152.50 to $164. The 6 to 7 weights, $137 to $146. And the 7 to 8 weights at $131 to $144. Feeder heifers, medium and large, 5 to 6 weights, we're bringing 142 to 151. The 6 to 7 weights at 131 to 151. On to the bred cows, large, third stage, young cows, we're bringing 975 to 1450. Middle-aged cows, we're bringing from 925 to 1350. And the aged cows at 950 to 1225. Now from the Greenville Livestock Auction for February 20th, they had receipts of 455 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were bringing 119.50 to 120, choice slaughter Holstein steers 110 to 115, and choice slaughter heifers at 119 to 120.50. In the direct cattle trade from the Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were at 123, and heifers on a live basis were also at 123, and on a dress basis at about 196. From the National Carlot Pork Report, trading was very slow, with light to moderate demand and offerings with only 27 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.35, which was 87 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values on choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses at $182.31, which was 16 cents lower, and select carcasses at $180.53, which was 35 cents lower. From the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, for Wednesday, cattle slaughter was estimated at 122,000. Compared to 114,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 421,000 compared to 424,000 last week and 425,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter 160 and a half unchanged. For block cheese, 164 and a half down 2. For barrel cheese, 163 unchanged. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, 1727. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for February, 705. For March, 709. Corn delivered to Scottville for February, 699. And for March, 701. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for February, $14.97. For March, $14.87. Wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.40. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.05. Corn at Scottville, $6.99. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.97. Wheat at Scottville, $7.40. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. Color radar showing no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They also have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your individual needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 854-6706. Visit ctemi.com. Service starts here.
The National Weather Service has posted a winter weather advisory. It is in effect from noon until midnight tonight. For today, a mix of snow, sleet, and thunderstorms possible with up to 2 inches of accumulation. High temperatures today in the low 30s We will have east winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies with occasional snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Lows in the upper 20s, and for tomorrow, Friday, becoming partly cloudy. High temperatures in the upper 30s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies. A chance of rain on Monday. Low temperatures in the low 30s, high temperatures in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have east winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising. Partly cloudy skies, 21 degrees on this Thursday morning. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
If you're a farmer in ag business, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. This is Jim Miller with Security National Bank. I'm experienced in ag lending and ready to serve all the needs of your farming operation, including purchasing farmland, livestock, equipment, and more. Stop by and see me today for all of your ag needs and ask about our competitive rates. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Visit us on the web at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by the CHS Service Center of Louder. In our farm news today, earlier this week, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. As usual, we discussed the grain trade, and he talked about the wheat markets.
We have big droughts in the plains. That is a significant problem, one of the worst droughts of the last five decades plus. We have a major winter storm coming this week that will provide some short-term relief. February basically is the time the trade doesn't look at the crop. They start looking at it in March, see what kind of condition it is coming out of dormancy. We've had a big pickup in demand lately. Brazil has begun buying U.S. milling wheat. There's a lot of trade chatter that China is shopping for soft red winter and hard red winter wheat from the United States. So we are seeing a turn in demand. It's just too soon for traders to be worried about the declining supplies.
Well, the Chinese pull that trick they pull when they buy soybeans is to commit to buy a couple hundred thousand bushel of soft red winter wheat, then cancel the order in hopes the prices go down?
They do have that tendency, and that's one of the frustrations of the marketplace. I think in this case, they're trying to buy small lots under the radar and not have an influence on the price, and that's something they've been doing pretty well. They're still buying corn very quietly and taking shipment of it, not receiving much notice.
Are they still buying it in small lots, like you mentioned?
Yeah, exactly right, here and there. Some of it was previous purchases under unknown destinations. Some of it's outright purchases, a cargo here and there. Sometimes up to 6 million bushels of corn shipped in a week's time to China, but it pretty much goes under the radar.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. During the 2012 Illinois State FFA Convention, Dalton Hevner of Pittsfield was elected vice president of the Illinois FFA. Since then, Hevner and the other state officers have been traveling a lot. They spend time in Springfield at the state fair, then they travel to many Illinois schools, talking with students about the FFA and about opportunities in agriculture.
Well, I think the big one is really just helping informing kids on what really does happen in the agriculture industry, because there's so much negative publicity towards the agriculture industry that showing kids what is really going on and explaining it to them, it really does help combat that. And the big thing with that is just misunderstanding of the agriculture industry. So helping informing the kids about what really happens and showing them why we do those things is really the big thing that we're really stressing.
Hevner and his colleagues agree that FFA is not just for farm kids anymore. They are recruiting kids from all areas.
The biggest chapter in Illinois is actually in Chicago. It's the Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences. They do a lot of food science stuff, and they do a lot of ag science stuff that they can do within laboratories and stuff. So we're really branching out and showing kids that agriculture isn't just farming anymore. It's the food science side of things. It's the biotechnology side of things. There's so many things that go into agriculture. In Illinois alone, there's 300 different career opportunities in agriculture. So informing the kids about that and showing them the opportunities in agriculture is one of the big stresses that we are doing this year.
And Hevner says agriculture is only one area of focus for the FFA.
Whether they go into agriculture or not, what they can do through this organization, whether it's through the career development events, their record books that they keep, or in the classroom, they learn so many skills that they can take out there, like public speaking or teamwork or interviewing, which is one of job interviews, which is one of the things that they can do through a career development event. There's so many opportunities.
After his year as Illinois FFA Vice President, Hevner plans to go to Lincoln Land Community College for 2 years before going to Oklahoma State University to study to become an ag education teacher. Females that calve earlier in the season net more profit for their owners. Cindy Campbell reports how research from across the country proves it.
Animal scientist Eric Mosel says over their lifetime, early calving heifers will earn around $1,100 above salvage value. Those who calve later in the season cut that number in half.
And so those later calvers tend to drag down the profitability of the entire herd. And so that's probably one of the real focal points of the research, is that it's interesting that you see more longevity and productivity out of those early calving heifers, but it really does make a difference on the bottom line.
What a producer does with this information depends on his setup. Some set a strict calving season cutoff. If a heifer doesn't fit into that 45-day window, for example, they head down the road.
Right now, the market supports anything that breeds late can just simply be turned around and marketed as a bred heifer and can be quite profitable.
More incentive to keep early calving females? They produce better carcass cattle.
There's been a fair amount of research that has shown that carcass quality is really tied to longevity. It's really tied to early calving females. And so I think that's something that we will probably see a lot more of in the future, is a little more research and a little more implementation of selecting for these early females, if nothing else, for the carcass quality.
Mosel says that's something that any producer can benefit from, regardless of marketing.
You know, right now, the big profitability in the feeding deal is grades. And if they don't meet grade, they're really not worth feeding right now. And so having that carcass quality bred in is really important, whether you feed them out for yourself or if it's simply by reputation.
I'm Cindy Campbell.
This is Food Checkout Week. And if you don't know what that is, American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee Chair Terry Gilbert explains in this story from the American Farm Bureau Federation's Jana Miller.
Farmers and ranchers not only grow our food, but they also want to make sure consumers know how to save money while putting that food on the table. That's the point of Food Checkout Week, a project of the American Farm Bureau's Women's Leadership Committee.
We want people to start understanding that they can buy healthy, nutritious food and keep it on a budget, and that feeding their family nutritiously is not as hard as they might think it is.
Terry Gilbert is chair of the Women's Leadership Committee and a cattle farmer from Kentucky. She says stretching your grocery dollar with healthy, nutritious food is a timely topic as many Americans continue to look for ways to deal with a tight economy. Plus, Food Checkout Week is an opportunity for farmers and ranchers to meet face-to-face with consumers who are buying the fruits of their labor.
We had some really positive conversations. We were all able to share a little bit about what we do on our farms and ranches.
Gilbert says it's good to remind people that food comes from farms and ranches, not the grocery store.
We're just trying to make a connection with the consumers. We're the farmers that grow the food that you're eating.
Jana Miller, Washington.
The Scientific Commission for the World Organization for Animal Health has recommended upgrading the U.S. risk classification for BSE to negligible. Negligible risk is the lowest risk level under the OIE Animal Health Code. Countries with negligible risk status have implemented robust bovine spongiform encephalopathy controls and have done extensive surveillance of their herds to demonstrate this extremely low risk level. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the ruling will greatly support efforts to increase exports of U.S. beef and beef products. He notes that the commission said the risk assessments submitted for their evaluation were robust and comprehensive, and that U.S. surveillance for and safeguards against BSE are strong. Secretary Vilsack says the United States continues to press for normalization of beef trade with several nations in a manner that is based on science and consistent with international standards. According to Secretary Vilsack, U.S. food and agricultural exporters and consumers worldwide benefit when countries adopt international standards. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is alarmed at the detail of the information the Environmental Protection Agency released to groups like Earth Justice, the Pew Charitable Trust, and the Natural Resources Defense Council on hardworking family farmers and ranchers. The EPA notified the National Cattlemen's Beef Association early this week that they granted a Freedom of Information Act request, providing the groups with information the agency had been collecting from states on concentrated animal feeding operations. NCBA past president J.D. Alexander says the information details his own family's home address and geographic coordinates. He says the only thing it does not do is show for the extremist to his house. Alexander says it is beyond comprehension to him that EPA would gather this information only to release it to these groups. The National Pork Producers Council is also troubled by the EPA's release of personal information on U.S. livestock and poultry producers. And the National Pork Producers Council President, R.C. Hunt, says the group feels betrayed and is very concerned for farmers. Hunt says there's also concern with ability of those opposed to modern livestock and poultry farms to manipulate the data to advance their extremist agendas. The NPPC is currently reviewing the files that EPA released to better understand the scope and content of the data. Hunt calls it ironic that in the name of transparency, EPA released information in secret and violated the privacy rights of farmers across the country. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, March wheat trading at 734.5, down 4. May wheat trading at 740.5, down 4.75. March corn trading at 699.25, down 1.25. May corn trading at 694.25, down 2. March soybeans trading at 1481, down 1.75. May beans trading at 1464, that's down 4.5. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.